Sonny Young, and happy Wednesday, Sonny.
Happy Wednesday, Kim, and welcome back.
Thank you very much, Sonny, and I understand you have lots of World Cup football news for us today.
Kim, we're now only 8 days away to the kickoff of the Football World Cup in Brazil.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
Didier Drogba and the Elephants of Ivory Coast, Africa's highest-ranked team, are in the southwestern U.S. state of Texas this evening for a friendly World Cup warm-up match against El Salvador. The game will be played at Toyota Stadium, the home venue for Major League Soccer's FC Dallas club. Ivory Coast is making its third consecutive World Cup appearance, and the Elephants are hoping to advance to the knockout rounds in Brazil for the first time. Ivory Coast is grouped with Colombia, Greece, and Japan for the first round of the World Cup. The Ivorians will kick off their World Cup campaign June 14th when they play Japan in Recife, Brazil. Then they'll play Colombia June 19th in Brasilia, and wrap up group play June 24th when they go against Greece in Fortaleza, Brazil. The Greeks played a scoreless draw against African champion Nigeria Tuesday night in another World Cup warm-up match held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There were few scoring chances in the match. One of Nigeria's best opportunities came late in the friendly international in the 87th minute when Ogenyi Onazi fired a 23-meter shot that was saved by Greek goalkeeper Stefanos Kapino. Joining us once again from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
David, Africa's five World Cup-bound teams, Algeria, Cameroon, Ghana, Nigeria, and Ivory Coast, busy with their preparations for Brazil. VOA! A reminder for our VOA football fans, the World Cup's opening match will be June 12th when Brazil will host Croatia in Sao Paulo. David, talk a bit about the preparations by the five African teams.
Yes, Sonny, the preparations are continuing. And you may recall way back in March, I said at the time that I was very happy that if Cameroon were going to get a 5-1 pasting, they did from Portugal, that it happened in March and not in the middle of June during the World Cup. And I think the proof of that came to me, Sonny, with a very good performance by the Indomitable Lions against Germany. They forced a 2-2 draw. And what that indicates to me is that Cameroon took on board the lessons from that hammering in Portugal, and they have improved considerably. Now, Cameroon, of course, in the World Cup, they're in the same group as Brazil, Croatia, and Mexico. And my reading of this group is that Brazil will win it. I think they'll win all three matches. And then you're going to get a real battle for second place. I don't think there's an awful lot between Croatia, Cameroon, and Mexico. I think on their day, all are good enough to finish runners-up. So in that sense, Sonny, an encouraging result. It is a warm-up match, and we have stressed on the sunny side of sport not to read too much into these friendly games. They are, after all, for many of the coaches, almost like experimental laboratories. They're trying out different combinations. So I don't believe the result is as crucial as it will be during the World Cup when, of course, the difference between a draw and a victory can be the difference between staying in the tournament and going home after the first round. But I had a feeling Germany would win this game. I thought it would be a fairly narrow victory, but I was really encouraged by the fact that Cameroon got that 2-2 draw in Mönchengladbach in Germany. So well done, the Indomitable Lions. A team that's going very quietly about their business are the Desert Foxes of Algeria. Very quiet, no commotions, no sensational stories coming out of their camp. And they started their countdown with a 3-1 victory over Armenia. Now, Armenia are by no means a powerhouse in European football, but nevertheless, a good win for the Algerians. Maybe they're going to surprise us yet, Sonny, because they're in the same group as Russia, Belgium, and South Korea. And the general feeling, looking at the comments of commentators around Europe, is the Algerians are basically wasting their time going to Brazil, that it's going to be a fight between the Belgians, the Russians, and the South Koreans for two places. And it's inevitable that the Algerians will prop up the table in fourth position. I beg to differ, particularly if the Algerians can avoid defeat in their first match against Belgium. I'm not saying they're going to qualify for the last 16, but they could well decide who does actually go through. A disappointing result, if you want to consider friendly seriously maybe, is the fact that the Ivory Coast lost 2-1 to Bosnia. But again, I stress, let's not read too much into that. I think by all accounts, the Ivorian preparations in the United States are going well. And then lastly, Sonny, Ghana. They went down 1-0 to the Netherlands. Now, nobody ever likes losing a match, but the Netherlands are a strong side. Remember, runners-up to Spain in 2010 World Cup. And certainly, it was no disgrace to lose 1-0 in Rotterdam.
David, you mentioned Cameroon's 2-2 draw with Germany. Four-time African Footballer of the Year Samuel Eto'o had the first goal for the Indomitable Lions in that match. Do you get the feeling Eto'o is going to have a big World Cup in Brazil?
I sincerely hope so, Sonny. Samuel Eto'o certainly owes the people of Cameroon a good World Cup. Whatever he might say, and he can be quite a persuasive and dogmatic character at times, he was directly responsible for the disastrous showing in South Africa in 2010. Basically, the team was divided in two. There was those who supported Samuel Eto'o, and then there were those who supported the deposed captain, Rigobert Song. What happened is the French coach, Paul Legain, he replaced Rigobert Song, the dreadlock centre-back who had been skipper of the Indomitable Lions for so long, with Samuel Eto'o. And this seemed to split the squad right down the middle. Eto'o, for all his skills, for all his talent, for all his ability, and for all his goals, and for all his exploits in Europe, at times I wonder if he has been a friend or a foe of the Indomitable Lions. As much as he does a lot of good, he also seems to cause a lot of harm. And I think he must now stop talking and just do the talking with his boots on the field. Yes, Sonny, we're really looking forward to a good World Cup from Samuel Eto'o. He's had a few digs at Jose Mourinho recently. He's called him a puppet. He's called him a fool. And my advice to Samuel Eto'o now is shut up and get on with scoring goals.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And speaking of South Africa, our Daybreak Africa sportsman Marco Uma caught up with a former world record-setting hurdler from South Africa and talked with him about how the country's athletic scene has changed with democracy and the end of apartheid. Here's Mark.
South Africa's most accomplished hurdler, Gert Potgieter, met the country's elite hurdlers at the University of Pretoria on Wednesday. A retired policeman, he set the world record in 440 yards hurdles three times between 1957 and 1960 and had these words of wisdom for his grandchildren in the event.
I'm so delighted that I've been part and parcel of the development of the high culture of performance here at the University of Pretoria. My whole idea today was to try to explain the importance of achievement, not to the expense, you know, of the materialistic things, or the expense of the mental mind. It should always be fair, and that it should be based on ethical codes, and that they should put their sights very high to try and achieve the best in the world.
You took part, your pride, at a very different time in the 1950s, at the heart of apartheid, when the country was segregated, and it also affected sports. Just a nutshell, what was the experience like then, which is different today?
Well, today we have the privilege to experience democracy. In my days, in the heart, you know, there was no democracy. We lived separately, and there were laws, you know, that prohibited us actually to mix socially. So the spontaneousness wasn't there. There wasn't much spontaneous mixing. And then I became very unpopular as I addressed all these irregularities in government. But today, it's wonderful, you know, to mix spontaneous, and that there's no discrimination, that we live in equal rights.
That was South Africa's Gert Potgieter, former world record holder in 440 yards hurdles. I'm Mark Oma in Johannesburg, South Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Earlier, I mentioned Didier Drogba and Ivory Coast playing El Salvador this evening in a World Cup warm-up match in Texas. Following the game, El Salvador will travel here to the Washington area to take on reigning World Cup champion Spain on Saturday in another friendly international warm-up match. The game will be played at FedEx Field. The USA has been a popular destination for World Cup-bound teams. Before the World Cup officially kicks off next week, 15 of the 32 teams to qualify will have played a total of 20 friendly matches on American soil. The Chipolopolo of Zambia, the 2012 African champion in football, did not qualify for the World Cup. But the Zambians are also getting ready for a friendly here in the USA. The Chipolopolo will play Japan on Friday in the southern U.S. city of Tampa, Florida. If we stay in Florida and head northeast from Tampa to Jacksonville, that's where the Super Eagles of Nigeria will play the United States on Saturday. It'll be the last World Cup warm-up match for both teams before they pack their bags and head to Brazil. The Americans will kick off their World Cup campaign June 16th against Ghana. And yes, the Ghanaians will also play a World Cup warm-up match in Florida. The Black Stars of Ghana, quarterfinalists at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, will play South Korea on Monday in Miami, Florida.